The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Blowing out of the backfield, exploding down the sideline.
This is Hanging with the Boys, presented by Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings. Now, your hosts, Jesse Holly, Kurt Daniels, and Nate Newton.
Let's go. We are here and ready to go. It is Tuesday. There's a live look right there at the Tostitos Championship Plaza right in front of the Ford Center where the high today, what is the high today? The high today is 96. It's 94 degrees right now. That is Nate Newton. We have him back. This is Kurt Daniels. Hey. I am Jesse Holly. Together we are hanging with the boys, the sports equivalent of Braille. People feel us when we speak. Welcome back, Kurt.
Hey.
You good?
Well, I understand I underwent a procedure of some sort.
I didn't want to put your business in the street, but since you want to bring it up.
Well, hey, feeling good, I guess.
Feeling good. Sir, Kurt is back. He knocked down a couple things on his way into the studio. He just got back from the Dominican Republic. Had a successful surgery in the Dominican Republic. He didn't have a successful
surgery. You're going to get me in trouble.
Surgery in the Dominican Republic. Nah, Kurt, glad to have you back. Nate, what's going on, brother? You good today?
Yeah, I'm good.
How's your mentals and your dentals?
Everything is great, man.
Everything is good over there?
Mentals and your dentals.
Yeah, I don't know. Great, just, man.
Mentals and your dentals, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm great, man. Just like what, Kurt is throwing out here is possible ideas and stuff. I like what he's doing.
Yeah, we got a jam-packed show today, man. We're going to continue to kind of wrap up last week's victory, 20-17. The Cowboys beat the Cincinnati Bengals. We're going to put a wrap to that. We're going to add a few things. We'll talk about Cooper Rush and his demeanor and his attitude. Does that affect the team in a positive way? We're going to talk about outside of Lamb and Brown, their other wide receivers, will they be able to step up this week going up to New York? You may be without your leading tight end, Dalton Schultz. Who's going to be the next guy to step up? And a host of more stuff. Remember, this segment is brought to you by Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings. Go and get those chicken sandwiches. If you have not, it's a sandwich. Right,
sandwich.
Nate? It's a sandwich.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And when you get two, it's a two sandwiches. Nate's a two sandwiches type of dude. On a good day, I'm a two sandwich type of dude. I ain't gonna hold you. I'm a two sandwich type of guy.
You know, Jay, I kind of got away from sandwiches. I'm gonna eat that meat. That's all I'm gonna do. Yeah, I'm eating the chicken. Yeah.
Oh, the chicken.
The chicken.
The chicken. Right.
Yeah, stop.
Okay.
Stop. Okay.
I gotta make sure we
wheels are wobbling. Yeah.
The
ditch.
Pastor Q, Pastor Q ain't coming on today, so he
stop
can't.
It. Stop it.
Man,
yeah.
So I just want to make sure we understand
he know
what you
when Pastor Q is not coming on, he get out of hand.
You want one or two of those meats? I don't know what the
chicken.
The chicken. All right. Okay. Now I want to make sure we got, because you never know. With Nate, you got to make sure.
You never know what them Eagles.
Oh, we'll talk about.
You never know what them Giants.
Let's open up the show with that then. Last night, an impressive victory.
Mm.
The Philadelphia Eagles took on the Minnesota Vikings. And if Jerry Jones has any power, whenever we get to playing Minnesota at Minnesota, just please make it a night game. If you make it a night game, we're for sure going to win that football game. Kirk Cousins is like 2 of 10 playing in primetime games. So, or Monday night football games, whatever the game, he don't win. But Jalen Hurts, I've said this for a long time, Philadelphia is a good team without a quarterback. And Jalen Hurts has shown, it's still early, very small sample size, but he has shown that, you know what, I'm not just a runner. Last night, 26 of 32 for 333 yards, a touchdown, an interception, and 57 yards rushing with two rushing touchdowns, total of three touchdowns. We're talking about almost 400 yards of total offense from Jalen Hurts. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Let's not even think about the Eagles or anything like that. Let's focus our attention on the Cowboys. That was a great performance, though. And that's a situation that we're going to have to watch, keep a close eye on as we get closer and closer to game time with Philadelphia. But right now, the Cowboys sit at third place in the NFC East, the Giants and Philadelphia being the top two seeds, followed by the Cowboys And then I'm going to call the Washington Commanders the booty juices of the league. It used to be the Giants.
Yeah.
But they went and got a brand new head coach in Brian Daboll. They changed some things up in the front offense, and now they're not playing a different brand of football. Does that worry you any, Nate, with the brand of football the Giants are playing?
I've seen too much tape on them yet. Oh, okay. We'll get into that in the next.
They haven't really beat, you know, they've had a couple of wins over not so impressive opponents, right? So.
You know, but Jasper, we better find out what he thought about this game before we tug on into it deeper, though, what he thought about this past game.
I thought it was
E.D. Kirk.
You know, don't do that to this man, all right? You're going to have people doing that to him. Don't do this now. Don't do this.
I'm not that old yet. I haven't reached that point.
E.D., if you guys don't know, that Kurt is the editor
of
DallasCowboys.com.
Okay.
ED Kurt stands for editor.
Okay.
It's you know what I mean?
All right.
Now, I ain't gonna lie, I was worried going into that game. I was skeptical how that
would hang around Nate.
But hey, you know, and then to come out firing like they did and that comeback, there was a point there too in the late. I thought, this is done. But hey, Cooper Rush, we trust, right? Run him down the field. And
I think listening to the broadcast of the game, the Hall of Fame, the legendary Brad Sham, but he's also there with Babe Laufenberg. And one of the things that Babe Laufenberg said that really we don't think about it, but he said we call Cooper Rush the backup quarterback. Well, right now, he's the quarterback. There is no backup to his name.
Thank you, Jesse. Thank you.
That's not real. This is not me.
Thank you, because y'all have heard me say, you know, I got on one of our guys yesterday on the other show trying to update everybody on Dak. I'm like, that's your problem. When a guy's in, we trying to find out what about the other guy. This is the guy. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
To your point, Babe Laufenberg said he's no longer the backup, guys. He is the quarterback. He is QB1 of your football team.
And way to go, Babe.
And he's being treated as such. And the one thing that you witnessed in that game, and I'm not going to say that players played harder for him than they did Dak. I'm not going to say guys did more than they did for him than they did for Dak. What you got was what we always want to see. We want to see a game plan put together suited specifically for the talent that you're putting on the football field. And sometimes that gets skewed because when you have an elite quarterback or you have a really good quarterback or your starting quarterback, there's a tendency to at times lay off and say, because we have that guy, he's going to get us in the right situation. He's going to be able to overcome the adversity. He's going to be able to overcome any deficiencies that we may have because this is why we pay them the big bucks. But when you have to go to a different quarterback or a different play caller, you tend to be, and I think that's where we had Mike McCarthy come in and say, hey, I'm going to get with Kellen Moore, and we're going to look at this play sheet, and we together are going to be smarter on how we call this game because you want to make sure that this guy is in a situation where he doesn't have to overcome difficulties. He doesn't have to – that he's – it's simplified in a way where he can just snap the football, make his reads, but snap the football and go play – assignment sound, less thinking football. And I think Cooper Rush, who's been around here for a while, who understands this system, who has some chemistry with guys like Noah Brown, go out there and have a good game plan. Kurt, you put in the notes. We'll go with you, Kurt. Kurt, you put in the notes the level of confidence, the demeanor, the attitude for Cooper Rush. He's kind of a steady Eddie kind of guy, right? Doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low.
It seems, yeah.
Really just even keel. How do you think that plays a part going into a football game where everybody, even the people in your building are saying, oh, this one's going to the other team because
it's gotta
you're
help.
Now.
Yeah, it's got to help, right? Because if you've got deer in the headlight look, especially in that last drive, you step in that huddle, I imagine the teammates feed off that. They know what they can read what's going on. They know what's happening. And if they can see a guy that at least is confident, now the talent may not always be there, but he's got the confidence to go in that huddle and say, here we go, we're going down the field. So that, I don't know, you guys tell me, you guys have been in the huddle. Is that make a, it's got to make a big difference, doesn't it? Yep. Knowing your quarterback is sure of himself.
What Cooper Rush did is what they did, which, you know, I hate to say this for Dak, which Dak didn't do the first game. Cooper Rush came out and you saw it clearly within the first two or three passes. He let the ball go.
Yeah.
He go back and look at the film. This boy let the ball go. It wasn't no hitching. It wasn't no, you know, the making sure and double checking. He was letting the ball go. I mean, you can say, hey, he worked with Noah Brown, so he know him better. All that's, however it worked.
There's something to be said about chemistry.
It worked. But the thing is, he let the ball go.
Yep. Do you think?
Go
ahead.
And when the game got tight, he still let the ball go. It wasn't no waiting and looking around and trying to figure it out. He let the ball go to the right people. You know, even to the point where even that bat down. You know, he was trying to get that ball out of there, because what he understood is, we've designed the play. I've made my read, and I got to trust in it. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying Dak don't do that. But when you're precise in what you're trying to do and what you're trying to get done, and if it shows to be that, believe them eyes and let that body follow.
Did you think that you mentioned earlier that maybe the game plan was a little simplified? Did you feel like it was greatly different than what it was
from the run game point? No. It was increased. It was increased because you got guys blocking down.
So they relied on the run game more than maybe they did.
The tackles in the tackle in the center coming around. Yeah. You got guys getting out in open space. Your tight ends blocked a whole lot better than they have before. So you had guys doing it for one another. So it was different. Run wise, it was much different.
And I got a chance to watch some of the film last night, and a small little caveat, I'm not saying that they were great, but that offensive line really put forth effort.
Yes.
And again, it goes hand in hand with, are you calling the plays that best suit the guy that you have out there? Yeah. And for the Cowboys, it was getting Tony Pollard and others on the edge. And the one play in particular, If you go back and watch it again, the pass, pitch, run, whatever that was to Tony Pollard. They call it a toss. Yeah. I call it a pass. It looked like a little sweep toss to me.
Yeah.
But when you go and watch that play, at the point of contact, you had Dalton Schultz, who that play, and here's a little football X and O for you, right? Here's how this play has to work, because you're pulling
the tackle in the center.
The tackle in the center around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if that defensive end gets upfield any,
it's
now
over.
The tackle has to bubble around him, which means he's bubbling into the zone where the running back is. If you go back and watch that play, Dalton Schultz, he didn't pancake a guy, he didn't stonewall a guy, but he set an edge. And that the curl off, because when that tackle came off, his is to come right off the hip, the butt of that tight end, and get to that linebacker who's flowing over the top. And then that guard comes following around him and cleans up anything else. When you watch that play, you see a tight end and Dalton Schultz just get enough of that defensive end where he's not coming upfield. That tackle comes off tight, that center comes around, and you see this gap formulate, and you watch Tony Pollard hit it for 46 yards.
Yeah.
And it's little plays like that, again, doesn't come up on a stat sheet, but it was Dalton Schultz just really getting a defined set on that edge that allowed that running play to get up the field on the edge for a massive gain.
Because if you go before that play and a little bit after that play, I think we had that happen where guys got upfield and took out blockers.
Yeah.
So you can see what Jesse is talking about, how it's supposed to be done, and you can also see in the same game how it ain't supposed to be done. And that is what I asked for. Jess, you said something that was so key. We cannot, with our center and left guard, dominate people with point of attack blocks. We can't just square up and muscle somebody off the ball. So you're going to have some type of a confusion in there, some type of down block, come around. Give these guys a chance to have success. Get out on the edge of guys. You know, boom, get out. Like if Jesse's my over me, get to his outside guy eye and make him run. I'll make him go underneath where I can block him down so your running back can get outside. I think they had a great game plan for Tony Pollard. And Zeke was still a hammer. He was hitting up in there and hitting for positive yards. I will say this again, Jesse. It ain't running the ball just to run it. It's putting it in a way so your offensive line can have a chance to block it and be successful. You don't want zero plays. And what I mean by that, you don't want second and 10. You don't want third and 10. You want second and 7.
Yeah.
You know, second and even 8. And then you know, if you go to third, you want to be third and 5 or less, or third and 6 or less. That way you have a two-way go. So, Jesse, this is what I was talking about this past game. This is what I was talking about. They didn't beat their heads against the wall. I'm just saying.
They ran with a purpose.
Yeah.
Which
is
exactly what I was saying.
Stop.
What did I say? You even used the terminology that I used.
You used the terminology that
I used. You said, run the ball. I said, we just can't run the ball.
Okay, why did Kurt miss this? What was his purpose for not being here on these shows?
He was getting.
He was going to see his son play a baseball game. But you found a way to find it that he was going to have. He was having other type problems. I am the one that's going to bring you the truth. You're going to bring a distorted view,
and I'm going to bring us in the break. So stay with us, hanging with the boys. We'll be right back.
Yeah, we saying the same thing.
We on break, Jazz?
Star Sports Tours is the only official fan travel partner of the Dallas Cowboys, offering exclusive game weekend travel packages with pregame sideline access and photo ops with current players, cheerleaders, and Cowboy legends. Want to stay at a team hotel, attend the best tailgate party in Texas, tour the Star, and talk X's and O's with me, Everson Walls? With Star Sports Tours, you can. Visit CowboysTravel.com to book your travel package today.
Brace yourself for an existential question. Has your butt been having enough fun lately? Have you been treating it well? Has it been going places? If not, then it's about time you start using SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best way to get your butt tickets to live events. Just ask the thousands of other butts who have rated it the number one ticketing app. So what are you waiting for? Download the app now or visit SeatGeek.com to get tickets to sports, concerts, and live events and make your butt happy. SeatGeek. Get your seat in a seat.
The Cowboys way, where 16 Hall of Famers and 5 championships shows us what success looks like. Where turkey is always the second best part of Thanksgiving Day. Where we are all defined by one single thing, the star. Where we as fans know it's our job to keep the tradition going. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank of the Dallas Cowboys and to support the quest of living life the Cowboys way.
Copyright 2020, Bank of America Corporation.
Attention Cowboys fans looking for the best shave of your life. There's a new official razor of the Dallas Cowboys, Shave Logic. Imagine not having to buy blades as often and getting more smooth shaves than your old razor, guaranteed or your money back. After more than 10 years of research and over 150 company patents, Shave Logic is proud to offer Cowboys fans a special offer. For a limited time, visit ShaveLogic.com and get a free $10 gift card with your purchase. Go to ShaveLogic.com now for more smooth shaves guaranteed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back to Hanging with the Boys.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Hanging with the boys. Kirk Daniels is back in his seat. Nate Newton has never left. I am Jesse Holly. Together, we are Hanging with the Boys. This segment is brought to you by Blockchain, blockchain.com. Also, Fan of the Year time. This is the time that we are talking about Fan of the Year, the Cowboys. You just came off a win. Are you a Cowboys fan who spices up the game? Nominate yourself or friend to be Cowboys Fan of the Year, presented by Captain Morgan. Nate, let me see you do the Captain Morgan pose. You know the Captain Morgan pose?
No.
All right, cool. Don't worry about that.
We're drinking. I kind of stayed away from the commercial.
Win a trip to Super Bowl 57 in Arizona. Nominate yourself or a friend at DallasCowboys.com/Fan of the Year. So if you know anybody that's Fan of the Year, absolutely go out there and nominate yourself, and you could be headed to Arizona for Super Bowl 57.
How are them fans after the game out there at Texas Live?
Lit. Yeah. They were. It was a really good scene. I enjoyed being out there at Texas Live. Now, for your pre and post game show, Nate, are you guys inside all the
time?
We're
in studio, yeah.
Oh, you're in studio, yeah. Okay.
We're going to do some games. We're going to do some games out there to the stadium. You know, I know we got one, you know.
Y'all should act them to put y'all in the plaza, man. I'm telling you, that energy.
You're talking about coming in? You did the plaza when people coming in?
No, I'm talking about putting...
At the stadium.
No, I'm talking about right here at the Star.
Oh, right here.
Because you're in the studio here at the Star, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they do show the game out here in the plaza, in the Tostitos Plaza. Like, have a setup, a stage.
The thing is, but you got to, you know, wait until the season get rolling and see where you at. Because that plaza get empty on you, too. Now, out there, the stadium going to be the stadium.
That's why you got to do it now, early on, when there's still a little bit of hope left in this season.
Hey, hold on, man. Right quick, like, what you got the Cowboys going? We ain't got time to go through all this. But what you got them? What's the record, bro? We ain't went through that. What's the record? Mm-hmm. I need to know from you before the show over with. Go ahead. I'm sorry,
give
brother.
Give us an opportunity to think about that. That wasn't in the run sheet. You can't just throw all of them in there. That wasn't in the run sheet.
I saw how you looked at me like,
I was like, wait, did I miss that one? Nah, you got to give us a moment.
Where we headed now, brother Jesse.
You know, talking about the football game, and Nate, you and I have been a part of teams where it was next man up.
Yes. Wow.
And what has been interesting so far early in this year, and outside of Cooper Rush going down, stepping up for Dak Prescott going down, there's been a host of other guys who have kind of stepped up in those moments. Of course, you now, Tyler Smith was playing left guard, now playing left tackle, and you move Farniak in there when McGovern goes down.
Yeah.
You're now going to have maybe Ferguson have to step up and play a role now that you have Dalton Schultz go down with his injury. We don't know how long he's going to be out there. Saying it's a PCL type situation, so I don't know if that's a game, two games. I'm not sure. I guess we saw Zeke play with it last year. He played with it, but it wasn't effective. So
yeah.
I don't know how much you want to push that. Then you go on the defense side of the ball and you lose Jayron Kearse. And this particular player in Donovan Wilson, he comes in and he plays a role to me. When you look at what Jayron Kearse has become for this team defensively, we speak of Micah Parsons in such high regard, rightfully so, respectfully so. He should always be spoken like that until otherwise noted. But there's another guy, and Nate, you always talked about this with Jayron Kearse. You would say, man, a dude that's so calm, cool, and collected. We had a chance to interview him a year or so ago. He was like, but when he gets on the field, he turns that switch on.
Yeah.
He's out of your lineup now. Insert Donovan Wilson. And this is a guy who I think was either led the team in tackles this game or was second in team in tackles.
He led the team.
Yeah.
And you see his impact. And I'll even go as far as saying the penalty that he got on the quarterback who was sliding in and he came in. We've seen coaches go, that one's on me. That's on me. Because what I don't want from Donovan Wilson is to ever stop being that player.
Right.
I don't want Donovan Wilson to ever stop being the kamikaze.
He's supposed to be that hitter back
there. He's supposed to be that guy. So a coach, now Nate, you've had coaches that go, okay, cool, that one's on me.
No, let's be smart. I am agreeing with you.
Okay, let's be smart about it.
But this is the same guy a year ago said, oh, Donovan Wilson's going to get you hurt.
No, he can cost you a game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you're willing to let that go now?
I'm saying the first one.
Oh, okay. When, early enough.
Because here's the thing. You have nothing else to go to.
Right, right.
When you lose Jayron Kearse. Now, if Jayron Kearse is still in there and Donovan Wilson goes in the game and he's making these mishaps like that, that costs you, that you can't afford that. But
okay,
when,
okay. I'm going to make sure you ain't talking
about
the
side. You have to keep the guy's confidence. Because if he doesn't, if he's not allowed to play that
– wide open.
You kept him here for a purpose.
Right.
And if you neuter him from being what it is, if you go the reverse route of what Kurt got done, now I'm playing.
Yeah.
if you clip him from being aggressive,
yes.
Then you don't play him. Because now you have a dog out there that's not going to hunt.
That's right.
So you say to him, the first one, that's on me. Be smart, Donovan. We can't have two of those now.
That's right. I agree with you. I just had to bring it to your attention.
And my question to you is, it's. I think he stepped up and played a significant role in this game with his physicality. And I think that's going to be needed going forward to have physical guys like that, because you don't have a team full of physical dudes, but you have physical players. How has this team, not just defensively, done with preparing themselves with backups like Donovan Wilson?
They've done a tremendous job, especially defensively. This is what happened when you say, when you tell ownership in the scouting department, I got this guy, Kurt, and this is what he's going to do. And whenever we get in this situation, I'm going to let him flourish. And they're not asking Donovan to do the same things, not every down that they ask Kurt to do. They letting him be who he is. And so if he's a roamer, if he's a hitter, and he's not so much that great cover guy, they're not asking him to do that. They got other guys that can do that. Israel can cover. Now, is he going to come up and bring that thunder? That's another question. I mean, he will tackle. Now, last year he wasn't tackling. But now he will at least come up and tackle. So this is just Dan Quinn putting the people in place. And I talked to the rookie, Bell, before the year. And I said, man, what do you like about your coaching staff? He said, I'm speaking for the defensive coaches. He said, whether it's good or bad and whether it's positive for you or not, they don't beat around the bush. So give me an example. Hey, man, we're going to put you in this position. These are the percentages of these plays that they run. What are you going to do as a player? So they're going to give you everything you need, but now they're going to see if your intellect and your physical ability can match what they just given you.
Is a guy like Wilson who's bringing the thunder. That's kind of his role, is to kind of maybe be that intimidator some degree. But in this day and age of with rules and such, is that type of player kind of going by the wayside a little bit?
No. Not on the good teams. Not on the 49ers. Okay. You know, the Honey Badgers, that guy when he need to be. And I don't know where he at in the league, but whoever he at.
Buda Baker's that kind of a guy.
Yeah, so, no, these guys, they are still here, and they're still thumping. Every team needs one.
They need one.
Yeah. Now, like me and Jesse just debated here, is when you do this and how you do this that counts the most.
You know what also helps, Kurt? It also helps to – It's the Dennis Rodman, Draymond Green theory.
No. Ain't nobody more physical than them. Nobody's more physical than them two. That's what I'm
saying. No, but listen to what I'm saying to you is they are consistently that dude.
Yes. Right?
Dennis Rodman is always going to push the limits. He's going to – after every single call, Draymond's going to yell and scream at the official. So what happens? The officials expect it. And so they give Draymond a little bit more rope to kind of do what Draymond does. They gave Dennis Rodman a little bit more rope to do what Dennis Rodman does. It's when you're not that guy, and all of a sudden
like
you
Diggs,
go
try that
right, and now all of a sudden you go and do a hit. They're like, whoa,
yeah,
that's a flag. It gotta be a flag. That's not right.
Yeah.
It looks funny.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you're not that guy and you go to the ref like, that's a bad call. He looking at it like, that ain't Draymond Green. Oh, no, that's a tech. No, tech.
Yeah.
And so it's a good thing, but you have to deploy it to a point where the refs, because the refs are human.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, they watch film. They understand what teams they're going up against. So when they see a guy like that, they'll go and say, oh, that was number six. Oh yeah, that's who he is. So we'll be a little bit less flaggy or quick to throw the flag because that player has consistently been that dude. Not saying that they won't get flagged for it, but again, you have the Draymond and the Rodman theory when you've always been that guy. They know you for being that.
And I'll give you a perfect example during the playoffs with Draymond. he went off one game, just fouled it. I don't know if they threw him out the game or not. But then the next game, he just kind of played himself. But the other game, he was extreme. And the next game, they thought they was going to throw him out. And yeah. They didn't even come close to it. And I'm with you, man. If these guys can play with that type of physicalness, Wilson, you know, bring that type of physicalness, if Diggs can continue to come up and make those sure tackles, you know, it can change on that back end. You can become a physical team. Now, they have to do this week in and week out. They can't just surprise us because their back's against the wall. Is this them? Is they starting a trend?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great point, Nate. That is a fantastic point because we've seen these Cowboy teams flip-flop.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've seen these Cowboy teams come out and you're like, man, they go toe-to-toe with some of the best teams in the league and then they come back and they lay a stinker.
Yeah.
And that's a great point. Who are you? Are you going to ascend and be this consistently, or was it a one off? Was it a one hitter quitter?
Late night. There she go.
Hey, sometimes the one hitter quitters, Nate. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day, way back in the day, a one hitter quitter. You leaving a spot. It's a
you ain't
called
me, sis. Yeah, I know.
You running to and they like, what's up? You like, what's up? You know what it is.
But yeah. Go ahead on, Jess. Don't lose your train of thought.
It's gone. The train of thought has gone, has left us. You got me thinking about the one-handed quitters back in the day. That was some fun times.
Yeah.
That was some fun times. But no, this team being able to ascend to a place of consistency.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to be that on a consistent basis? And that goes to the next guy who's been around here for a while, 6 years in this league, and kind of really getting his first opportunity to be a starter, Noah Brown.
Yeah.
Comes out, 5 catches, 95 yards, and a touchdown.
Once again, I'm going to ask you, who is Noah Brown? That guy we saw the first week?
Guy? Is Noah Brown the one-hitter quitter?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, is that a Cooper Rush thing? Because they've spent God knows how much him and the Reds out there on the
come
field.
Come on, Jess. I'm looking for you now.
All I can say is that there was a player who had 3 or 4 catches for 90-something yards and got tackled at the one-yard line, and we ain't hear from him again. Many, many, many years ago in San Francisco.
Right.
So you can have a good game, and all of a sudden – and I think Noah Brown is somewhere in between – 4 for 5 for 95 in a touchdown, and what we saw in week one.
Okay.
I don't know what level, and that's to the point. The consistency. Are you going to be able to go out there and be a 5 for 95 in a touchdown? Or are you going to be 2 for 16 with a drop or two?
Can he?
Don't do that.
We know that Lamb is the team's number one, but, you know, in Cooper Rush's eyes is – Noah Brown, Cooper Rush is number one.
No, I think as time go on, Cooper Rush will understand that this dude can make some plays for him.
Right.
And maybe I'm, you know, Jesse, how does a quarterback work through that? How does a receiver work through that? Because, you know, I don't know CD enough to say he's selfish. I'm not. So how does a guy who's supposed to be getting these targets, how do he react? So I don't know. I'm not over there.
As you know, you've been around enough wide receivers. We're divas.
Yeah.
And we want the rock. We always think we're open.
Right.
We want the rock. We want the targets. And for CD, he has to just keep being CD.
Yeah.
Right?
He still had 11 targets, so I guess he was.
I mean, that's 2 games with 22 targets.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, I'm sure
how many
that.
How catches, though, with 22 four? Targets?
7 yesterday.
He had 7 in that last game?
Yeah, Sunday.
So that's 9 catches total. So 9 for 22.
That ain't a good one.
That ain't a good target to
15
to reception ratio. But we got to go break, take our final break. We'll come back. We're going to put a wrap on Sunday's game. And kind of start previewing Monday night's game against the Giants. Stay right here with us, hanging with the boys.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back, Hanging with the Boys. Tuesday, what's today's date? September 20th.
Yes.
2022. What you got there, Kurt? Who's watching us at home on their TV?
This is Modubel. I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm butchering your name, but thank you for watching. Got it on the big screen
there.
Got
it on the big screen.
We're having some technical difficulties, folks.
We are having some technical difficulties. That's all right. We got Cooper, Russ, Jazzy in the back. Yeah. She's holding it down. She's keeping her calm,
like
cool demeanor.
The on-demand will be fine, but
yeah,
the live version here.
The live version may be a little bit down, but we're going to have it up. Bro Willie going to have us up and ready to go. And
so it just wasn't Shannon the reason he was keeping us down. He's still it's somebody in here that he may not be feeling, Brother Willie. You know, I don't know.
I hope not me. Is it you, Kurt?
I don't think so. I try to be good to old Brother Will.
Jazzy's holding it down in the back for us. But just to kind of put a final stamp on Cowboys over Bengals 20-17. Brings the Cowboys to 1-1. Give me one thing that you really liked about that football game, Nate, and give me one thing that you were like, still gonna get better at. If not, that's gonna kill us in the end.
I liked the diversity in the run game. How he moved those linemen around and gave them opportunities not just to get bowled over and get bullied. I liked how he did that. And just be able to do that a little more in the second half, giving them opportunities to help this young rush be who he can be. And our defense on third downs, you got to sometimes get yourself off the field.
Yeah.
That reminds me kind of good.
I got to get to you. Don't jump.
Y'all go ahead. That was pretty good, Jess. I'm through.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, man. Sometimes if I don't jump in, I don't get to talk much.
That ain't directed at me.
I'm the host.
But you didn't throw it to him quick enough.
I'm trying to throw it to him now.
I wanted that follow up question.
Go ahead.
You're talking about the run game and that balance, and you talked earlier about how the offense may have been simplified maybe for Cooper Rush in some ways. Is this the offense they should be running no matter who's at quarterback?
Yes, sir.
No, sir.
Yes, sir.
No, sir.
Oh, yeah? All right.
No, sir.
What I saw was decisiveness. No hesitation.
Man, you've used some big words today, man.
Yeah, you know.
I'm proud of you.
I took that.
Rosetta Stone.
That's Spanish. I know. You own it today, boy. You own it today. Go ahead on. I'm through with you, man. Finish this show out. I know that won't be hard. What you think, Kurt?
Kurt, one thing that you saw in this football game that you really liked, and what is one thing that you saw in this football game that you were like, man, we got to get this corrected, or it's going to kick us in the butt down the line?
Well, I like the offensive line. I think it's coming together. Tyler Smith, I mean, his second career start, and he seems to –
he's learning. He's
saying
learning.
He graded pretty high. And even the other guys, I mean, Farniok, for the player he is playing guard, you know, he held his own. And I think Biotis is – you know,
okay.
He's placed some beast in there, and I think he's held his own for the most part there. So that's encouraging. Hopefully maybe we can talk about it later in the week, but how they're going to function and how they're going to move things around if Peters comes back. But I like where that line is heading. I think it's holding its own. As far as what I was – I tell you one thing I was concerned about late in the game, and this might have been in the third quarter, was it might have been right after the Bengals' big long drive or whatever.
In the fourth, 8 minutes.
Maybe it was. I can't remember the total timing on it. But there was a point there where you could tell the defense was kind of on its heels and it was struggling. Mm-hmm. And we came out on offense and ran like this hurry-up thing, like, let's go. And I thought, man, that's kind of the last thing we need right now. This defense has got to rest a little. Let's grind it out some. So I'm kind of wondering again. And overall, I thought Kellen Moore did a great job. Obviously, coming out right off the bat, boom, 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 is good. But there was a lull in there, and it made me think, are they making the right adjustments? And that's kind of been a criticism of us in the past, is does he adjust as we go along? Now, in the end, all sunshine and
we had
unicorns, but you know,
we had some luck in that game with the batted pass we had. But luck prepares the luck favors the prepared mind, and this is what I believe.
Who are you today, man? You're dropping these quotes out. Big words,
Professor, Professor Nate over there.
But this is what I believe is this team understands now, and I think Coach McCarthy probably helped Kellen say, hey, this, you know. Think of it this way, and I'm with you. I was waiting for that time where they say, hey, let's walk in and out of the huddle. Let our defense has just been mauled a little bit. Let's walk in. And out. We didn't need that hurry up. We needed somehow, some way, you know, even if we would have went to punt and we just stood there and got a penalty, to make sure that our defense get a chance to catch their breath. So, Jess, it's all yours, man. What are you looking at?
You know, I watched that game and I thought to myself, wow, look at the balance. Like, that was a word that I wrote down in my notebook. I wrote balance.
Some of your napkins?
No, I actually had my notebook this week. I didn't get it. And I wrote balance. That was a huge, huge thing. When you look at that game plan, there was an even distributed.
That's Pastor Q. Now Pastor Q coming at him. No. That's him through that spiritual world. With the evil thoughts.
The distribution was evenly dispersed.
Yeah.
Across the board, run pass and it wasn't just, hey, we're gonna run it 20 plays. We're gonna pass it 20 plays. They were sound, well-executed offensively done. And I thought that was key for this game, was to get the balance, and not only get the balance, but get it in a way that allowed your team to be successful. And they did that in the first half, which gave them the 14 points earlier, you know, in that half. It sputtered off a little bit in the second half, and it kind of got a little bit shaky. But in the end, you had just enough left in the tank to go ahead and get yourself down the field and win the football game. The thing that I don't like, and put it on the loop, the penalties.
Mm. Oh man!
And while today they didn't have 10 plus in this game, they had time. They had one that will kill you.
The punt. Yeah.
You had a guy flinch on the punt to give guys back on the field. You had Anthony Barr when they were on, you know, getting off the field. Yeah, and Anthony Barr goes down. It was certain things that say what you want about who the Bengals are. Good team, bad team. They won the Super Bowl last year. Whatever you want. But when you go back and you play in your mind, there's at some point in time, if this football team gets together and get in the playoffs, you can't give Aaron Rodgers another set of downs. I don't care who he's out there with. You can't give Tom Brady another set of downs. You don't want to give the Rams another set of downs. So it's those things that we constantly talked about that continue to show and rear their ugly heads in these football games, and it's these penalties. It's these penalties that are happening in times and places of the game that will ultimately be devastating to you in the win-loss column if they continue to persist and you continue to get penalized when you're supposed to be getting off the football field.
Just remember, fellas, this is the third preseason game. Yes, sir. More so with teams that have had a lot of injuries, teams that are young.
We were the most penalized team last year, so we got through the first preseason game. And then still continued on to the season.
I am glad that was one of your points. I'm not diminishing that by no means. But what I am saying, for as happy as Nate was in the practices they had against Denver and the Chargers, I'm agreeing with you. They should have got their starting quarterback out there on that field just to go through the cadence in some type of close to a game. And these guys, due to injury, left guard, left tackle, the wide receivers, should have been working at a better tempo with possible guys that were starting. Like, we were out here playing games with Will Greer. We should have never been playing games. It should have just been Cooper Rush. You know, we'll get to you. You know, we got 16 spots. We got you. You know what I'm saying? On the practice squad. There's just a lot of things that if this season ended today and we started tomorrow in training camp, there's a lot of things I'm going to say different, even going into next year. But we're in the middle of a season. This is a playoff game. I mean, not a playoff game, but this preseason game. They don't know these guys. They still learning them. They are still learning them.
Any final thoughts, Kurt?
No, I'm glad for the win. It feels better when you win.
It absolutely feels
so
better.
So by you winning and you are on the road, did things go better? And you know.
It definitely helped yesterday or Sunday winning. You know, a little bit.
How did your son do in the game?
Oh, he had fun. It was good. Okay. Great trip. Loved it.
Was he successful?
Yeah. Don did good. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Swing a big stick, baby.
Oh, yeah. But he lives and dies Cowboy. If they'd lost, he'd have been in a funk. So they won. It was all good.
Hey,
so.
It's always party time when the Cowboys win here in Dallas. Well, that puts a stamp on the Cowboys' 2017 victory over the Cincinnati Bengals. We move on. Wednesday, we're doing Cowboys offense. We're doing Cowboys offense, New York Football Giants defense. Same place, same time. That is Kurt Daniels. He is Nate Newton. I am Jesse Holly. We are hanging.
And that is our chair.
Thank you so much for being with us. Come back here, same time, same place tomorrow. We out of here. Peace.
Deja Blue.